This sermon that I planned for this morning, we'll do that next week, Lord willing. I've got the sermon for this morning on my desk. Okay, I prepared it for next week, so I left it on my desk. And so I'm going to just, I'm still going to give that to you this morning. And then after I'm done, I'll find out if I did what I planned on doing, okay? Would you turn to the 37th Psalm? The 37th chapter of Genesis. The 37th chapter of Genesis. One of the things that I think that people need in life are dreams. I really believe that there's an importance about dreams for our lives. See, many people just simply appear to exist. They are just doing the things they do because that's what they do, and they see no further ahead than the particular moment or the time that they're in. It's almost like they have no idea that God has something more for them, that life could be different, that there could be something exciting take place. Let's face it, folks, those of you that have been around a few years, the exciting things in your life, tell me about them. Just think about them just for a moment in your own mind. What's exciting to you? Well, what is it, going to Cracker Barrel? Yeah. Is that exciting? I don't find Cracker Barrel very exciting myself. In our travels, Ruth used to want to stop at every Cracker Barrel we saw. She was collecting that blue, they used to sell that blue pottery looking stuff, and we have it in our living room right now. And she has a bunch somewhere else too. I don't know where it is. But we'd go different places and she would buy another piece for it. And she'd say, stop at Cracker Barrel. Let's eat a Cracker Barrel. And I go, after a while, I mean, I like Cracker Barrel, but not every day, you know, but what's your dream? What's your dream? Is it, get another house? Bigger house, littler house, a house in a different neighborhood, you know, house of land, a house without land, depending on you. What's your dream? Are you just getting up in the morning and saying, well, I guess I'll go to work and I guess I'll go home after I'm done work and I'll watch TV program or two and then I'll go to bed and then the next day I'll get up and go to work. It just doesn't seem to me like that's enough. I don't know, maybe that's enough for you. Maybe you're happy with that. But it seems to me there should be something of greater impact. I watch some people in this congregation that I think that have grasped the issue of dreaming in their life. And they might not put it like that. You might call it vision. You might call it whatever it is. Jerry, I have to admit that you really challenge me in my life. Now, Jerry Lee's just a year or two older than I am. And she's still going to Haiti 3 and 4 and 5 times a year. And her time's filled up with Haiti. I don't know if you noticed. She collects clothing for Haiti. She gets this for Haiti. She's praying about Haiti. She's doing this for Haiti, and then she gets to go. And you know, at Christmas, you know, most of us are getting gifts for our kids at Christmas and our grandkids, maybe, and she's getting gifts for, I don't know, 30, 40 orphans in Haiti at the orphanage and others, you know. And then on her time off, she gets to go, and you should be there when the pastors come in to receive their 50 to 100 pound sack of rice that they're going to take back to their congregation and give to their people. And by the way, Jerry Lee's involved in that, and I think, man, oh man, and that's living, isn't it? Karen and Walter, Thompson have been part of our congregation now for, I don't know, 3 years, I guess, in approximate. And every summer, what they go to Maine. Now, Maine's summer is different than our summer, so you have to understand that. But they go up there, but I've never seen people who are committed to ministry like they are. I mean, now, Karen, you're not old. I know Walter's old. Karen, you're young. But especially after you've done all those years of pastoral ministry and everything, and you're supposed to be retired, and he's still, both of them are still, they have Bible study with people. I forget what day of the week it is, on the internet, and they're in other states. And they're still involved in ministry. Do you just dream about taking a vacation? What do you dream about? Let me give you a picture of dreams. 37th chapter of Genesis. Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. And these are the generations of Jacob. Let's drop down to verse 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream. He told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. He said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, a sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about, and I made obeisance unto my sheaf." That means they fell down and worshiped. And his brethren said to him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed another dream and told it to his brethren and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. Behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance unto me." And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow ourselves to thee to the earth?" And his brother envied him, but his father observed the saying. Now remember, Joseph is one of 12 sons. And when he prays, when he tells him about the dream of the sun and the moon, that's representative of his father and his mother. And the 11 stars are representative of his brothers. And so, when he says that, he's saying they're going to bow to him. Now, did you catch what happens through this process? Every time he tells him about the dream, they hate him. Now, please understand that dreams that you have, they are not always accepted by everybody else around you. You'll find in your life that there's people that just they just don't like your dreams. Doesn't matter if it's right or wrong. Doesn't matter anything else about it. They just don't like your dreams. Some young people, and by the way, you forgive me, please forgive me. We live in a society where young people spend a fortune to get a college education. A fortune. I had somebody just talk to me recently. Their child wants to go to a college, and it's $35,000 a year. Now, you know, those of you that have young children, you're going, "Oh no." Yeah. Let me, just as a side note, let me give you a little bit of help here. Make sure they get the right degree. Because if they only make $25,000 a year and they have $70,000 in debt, guess what? They're going to live with you the rest of their lives. So don't let them do that to you. But sometimes I want to say to them, "What are you thinking? Man, what are you going to do with your degree?" "Well, I don't know. You going to make a living?" And all of a sudden, I find myself being harmful to their dream, maybe. You know, I don't see what they say. I don't get it. But maybe God is just going to use them powerfully in the area that they're in, and they don't have to make a lot of money. Friends, people won't like all your dreams. Your parents will say, why do you want to do that? You know you're not going to make any money as a pastor. You're not going to make any money as a youth minister. You're not going to make any money as whatever. Yeah, you know, you can't make a living like that. Would you quit your job? I'll never forget my father-in-law, scared to death when I quit General Motors to take a full-time position in a church in Illinois. I was taking his daughter and three grandchildren there, and I was going to make 50% of what I was making before. I think he was really afraid I'd send them back to him. I really do. But he thought, man, why would you quit a job like that? I remember going to the job. Oh my. It was a good job. I was thankful for the job. But I remember after being called to ministry, that God had placed something in my heart, that there was more to living my life than just merely going into a shop and making a few shocks, a few hundred thousand shocks. There was more to it. And while before that I'd been satisfied with being able to have that job and be able to take care of my family and do it in a very good way. But after the call was placed in my heart, I saw something other than just merely making shocks in a factory. Somehow, some way. And by the way, I was involved in ministry in the congregation I was in. We would go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. If we had revivals, and we had revivals back then, at least 1 week long. You understand? At least a week. Start Sunday, usually went through Friday night, and they let you have Saturday off. And at least 1 week. And we had at least two a year, at least two revivals a year. And so we went to all of them, every service, every service. If the kids had ball, you know, one of us would take the kids to ball practice or whatever, or play ball, and the other one would go to church. We didn't figure it took both of us to stand there on the sideline and watch our kid practice ball. You know, if one of them, I'm going to do this just for fun. If one of the kids were sick, we both didn't stay home and take care of them. No. We got the others together, and one of us would go and take the kids to church, and the sick one stayed home. And if they were sick, they were sick because we made them stay in bed when they were sick. They didn't get up and run around the house and goof off and then about 1 o'clock go outside and play ball, then come home and get sick again at 5 o'clock. No, if you were sick, you were sick. You stayed in bed, buddy. And you didn't get to turn the TV on and all that kind of stuff and play games, you know, they didn't do any of that kind of stuff. No. And so we went to church and then we did that. And on Tuesday nights, every week, and I don't know how long we did this for multiple years, every week on Tuesday night, we went, and me and a couple other guys went and visited the visitors in our church. Knocked on their door and said, hello, I'm Gerald Rudd. You were at church this past Sunday. We just want to come by and say hello to you, and we're glad that you came. And so I was involved in ministry, but man, after God's calling my life to preach, to pastor, none of that was good enough for me because I saw more. There was something better, at least in my mind, and it was going to be pastoring. And I tell you, I've never found anything better than pastoring. Now, folks, I didn't say I've never found anything better than the people, because some of the people are real pains. I'm never a pain, but some of you are. And there's a lot of difficulties that you deal with. as a pastor. And I mean, there's easier things. When I made a shock, you know, those shocks didn't complain one little bit to me. And if the boss came down, started giving me a hard time, I'd say, get me my committee man. Now, you guys don't, right to work state, you don't understand that. But if you worked in a strong union shop, you got that. Yeah, oh my. Yeah, I didn't have a problem with that. But let me tell you, there's nothing been more fulfilling than me pursuing my dream. Even though everybody did not think the same way as I did. I don't know what your dream is, or even if you have one. But maybe you ought to be praying and asking God to help you see what He would have you to do and what He would have you to be in your life, so that you have something in your life that is more than just getting up every morning and doing the regular thing and then going to bed at night. Now, there's nothing wrong with you doing all of those things. But inside of that, you need to have a dream of what God wants to do with you and in you. The shame is that oftentimes Christian people just don't bother to dream. Just don't bother to dream. If I were to come to you and say, what's your dream? What do you think God wants you to do in your life? What do you think God wants to do through you and with you? And some of you are saying, oh, I'm just going to get married and have kids. And wouldn't it be great if you got married and had kids and helped those kids find out about the wonders of Jesus? One of my great dreams is to see all three of my kids serve Jesus. Now, we have two out of three. Now, that's just not good enough to suit me. It doesn't fulfill the dream. See, the dream is all three kids. All three kids raising their hands when a song is sung. All three kids kneeling in prayer, maybe at an altar for someone or some need or whatever it might be. All three kids. And now I have these loud grandchildren. Loud. James is over in Knoxville today with his daughters. And they were with us last night and the night before. And Jordan is loud. You guys don't know loud. Now, in public, she's real quiet. James says, oh, when she gets in the car, she's even worse. Says, just the volume level goes up. Now, you guys with kids never have that problem. I know that. But man, in our, she is loud. And laugh, her and her sister, all they do is giggle. What is it? Every time, giggle for 2 hours. You want to strangle them. Or whip them and make them cry. At least they wouldn't giggle, you know. I mean, but man, I want to see my grandchildren. My dream is that my grandchildren would serve Jesus. Mother, father, yes, you got to make a living. Yes. And maybe it's not exactly what you would like to do, but it's what you need to do. But in the midst of that, what's your dream? What's your dream? Joseph presented his dream to his brothers and his father, and they did not like it. As a matter of fact, it's very clear that they hated him. You ought not to be surprised when everybody does not like your dream. Also, I pray that you will notice that, by the way, if you read the entire account about Joseph, you know that his brothers attempt to take his life. He finds himself in a pit. If it wasn't for, I believe it was Reuben, they would, the other brothers would have killed him and buried him in that pit. Instead, they sell him into slavery. Not knowing, you see, they don't know, and Joseph doesn't know, that all of that will help his dream come to fulfillment. Friend, when everybody is against you and things seem to go wrong, do not think that that means your dream is unreachable. Do not believe that. You see, when God has His hand on you, God will fulfill His work in you. Very personal for Ruth and I. I told Ruth that I believed that I should go to Gulf Coast Bible College. And Gulf Coast Bible College eventually became MACU, Mid-America Christian University, in Oklahoma. But at the time I went, it was down in Texas, Houston, Texas. Virginia, I know you were there. And Joyce, you were there. Joyce was there many years before I was, I believe. Now we were there about the same time. And I took Ruth out of our house, left my job, and went down to Houston, Texas with three kids. And I believed that I needed preparation to be a pastor. And when I got there, of course, I still had to work. And then I went to school full time. So my schedule went something like this. I got up at 6 o'clock in the morning, 5 days a week, sometimes 6 days. Got ready, drove to school, started early morning classes. I got the earliest morning class I could, usually about 7:20 if I remember correctly. And I went, took classes up until about, about 11:30, 12 o'clock. I ate my lunch. I usually carried a sack lunch, ate my lunch, and then I would go into the library and begin doing my homework, all my studies. Then at 2 o'clock, I'd get in my car and I'd drive on down to the place I worked. And I started work at 3 o'clock, and it usually took a good 30 to 45 minutes to drive because of traffic down there. And I went into work, and I worked till 11 o'clock at night. Then I get in my car, and I drive the approximate hour that it took me to get home. I got home at midnight. Now, anything that happened in the day, Ruth had to take care of. Anything the kids did, Ruth had to take care of. And to say that that did not put a stress upon our family is just an absolutely incorrect thing to say. And so we made the decision that after 1 year, three semester of classes, I went through summer school, three semesters of classes, we would go back to Dayton, Ohio. Now it appeared to me that we would just stay in go to our home congregation. I'd preach a little bit there and do the things there. But God had something else for us. Even though it did not work out the way I thought it was going to work out in Houston, Texas, 4 years, get a degree, and go pastor. Even though it did not happen like that, God still allowed me to have fulfillment on that. Of course, it took me, I think it was 15 years to get my bachelor's degree. My youngest son and I graduated college the same year. I tell everybody I got it like Johnny Cash's car, you know, a piece at a time. And so I did that. I remember going into classes in the evenings on Saturdays, took science on Saturdays. Nothing worse than science. Earth science. Who cares what a rock is? It's a rock. I couldn't care less. And so all of those things. And it didn't quite happen like I thought it should. But in spite of not happening like I thought it should, God placed me as a pastor. He allowed me to grow and become. And today I stand before you. I can't say that I dreamed about you. But let me tell you what I used to tell Ruth. We lived in central Illinois. You all have not seen snow until you live in central Illinois. Blizzards. Blizzards. Black ice for miles on the blacktop. And their roads were straight. And we lived there, and every now and then we would go somewhere. And we'd drive through places like Kentucky, West Virginia. And every now and then we actually drove into Tennessee. And I'd say to Ruth, my, wouldn't it be wonderful to get to pastor in this part of the country? And 21 years of Illinois, and here I am. Here I am. Did not always happen like I thought. But my dreams have come true. Now, as you look at the account of Joseph, you find that he finds himself as a slave in Egypt. You know the account. He eventually finds himself in prison in Egypt. Nothing looks like it's going to work right. But in the midst of all of that, God was working. And he brings him to sit as the second in command over all of Egypt. And you know what happens, don't you? Remember the dream we read about? Do you remember the dream? His brothers would bow before him. His father would bow before him. Here is Joseph in charge of all the food during famine time. God had given him another dream, and he had seen what was going to happen to all of Egypt. And my brothers and my sisters, well, gave Pharaoh the dream, and he interpreted. And here he is in charge of all the food, and guess who shows up? His brothers. And guess what they do? They bow before Joseph, not knowing who he is. 13 years later, after they've sold him into slavery, 13 long years, and they bow before him. And later on, if you read the account all the way through, you find where his father and mother bowed to him. His dream comes true. What he saw happen, what God intended for his life, came about because of a couple things. Firstly, he believed God. He believed God. In the midst of all the bad things, in the midst of all the difficulties, in the midst of everybody not liking him, hating him, wanting to take his life, putting him in prison, and all of those things, he still believed God was God and that he was God's servant. And my friends, God brought about in his life what he wanted to bring about. The second thing that happened was he did not grow bitter. You see, what happens in many people's lives is they have their dreams, and because they run into problems and bump into difficulties, they grow bitter in life. Didn't happen like I wanted it to. Didn't happen like I thought it should. Didn't happen like I had planned. I don't know what's problem in life. I don't like anybody and anything. And pretty soon they have a bitter heart at their family, at their God, at their neighbors, at anybody and everybody. If it hadn't been for my wife, I could have. If it hadn't been for having kids, we could have. If it hadn't been for this, I could have done that. If I hadn't. My friend, Joseph never grows bitter in it. And again, if you read the account, when his brothers come to him, he does not want to bring harm to them. And after their father dies and their brothers start talking to each other, and they say, it's because of our father being alive that he didn't seek retaliation on us. And they go to him and they bow to him again. And he says to them, guys, you don't get it. You just don't get it, do you? God, you intended evil, but God intended good. You see, the entire world can stand against you. And if this is God's dream in your life, friend, they can mean to do you harm, but God will use it for good. They can mean to hurt you and turn away from you, but God will use it for good. Let me ask you a question. What's your dream? What do you dream about? Let me tell you what I dream about. I dream about a congregation where people really love each other. Yeah, I don't mean just some. I mean, people really love each other. I mean, all the differences, all the pieces that you like this kind of music, I like that kind, so we can't like each other. You don't agree with this and I don't agree with that, so we have to hate each other. Man, I dream of people that look at each other and see each other and say, man, you know, I know you're different. Man, you're probably wrong about everything and I'm right, but I still love you. I still love you. You don't have it all right in life. You don't have everything figured out, and I may have, but I still love you. I still love you. You don't like the kind of things I like, but I still love you. I dream about a congregation that has such a desire to do ministry for Christ that they will reach out to every avenue and every place that they can. You see, part of your dream may not be a building or in a building. It may be that you're going places. Raymond and Rita, they did ministry out in California. Did you get up in Washington State? No, I didn't get up that far. But they went to some of these churches out there, and Raymond has built his whole life. And there he is. And Rita's trying to get him back home so she can see the kids. And yeah, and they, you know, God using that. And we have others that sit in, Ron and Shirley Jennings, they go, some of you may not know, but they go all over the United States and they do repairs with the sowers group. And they go into different kinds of settings and they do work and invest themselves. And some of you that sit here today, you're doing things for people and lives of people. Man, I dream of a congregation that sees ministry and says, I want to give myself. I want to give myself. Ron DeMay cuts more wood. And Ron's at least 2 years older than I am. I don't see him where he's at. But, over here, yeah. And Ron cutting wood, man. Gets out there and he can cut it. Yeah, he gets out there at the chainsaw. Zzz, you know. He doesn't know the people that it's going to. Do you see that? I dream of people that are like that. I dream of a congregation that has a pastor that is so in love with Jesus and so in love with his people that he would be able to give them everything they need. I dream of that. I dream of that. Sometimes your pastor's not always the smartest, not always the best. But I dream of loving you greatly. In spite of who you are and what you are and all the backgrounds and all that kind of stuff. And and I dream of loving God better than I've ever loved him and being the man that he would have me to be. I dream of that. What do you dream about? Going to the ball game? Vacation? Nothing wrong with any of those things, is there? But don't you dream about something that enables you to impact the world for Jesus? You invest yourselves in so many things. Your kids, man, I commend you for investing in your children. Ball practice, piano practice, ballet, on and on and on and on and on. Those are wonderful things. Most of them will never play professional sports. I don't care how good you think your kid is. And they will play ball or whatever it is till they're 13, 16, 20. And then that will end. Now, some of them will go out and play church softball and think they're pros, but they're not. Okay? But if you could invest in your kid's eternity, what a difference that would make. You say, well, I want my son to grow up to be. I want my daughter to grow up to be. Well, I tell you what I want mine to grow up to be. My grandkids now. Followers of Jesus. I don't care if they're the best softball player in the world. I don't care if they can dunk the basketball when they're 13 years old. I don't care if they're the best ballet mover, whatever they call dancer, in the whole state of Tennessee. But I do care if they serve Jesus. Because that is eternal. It will not last till they're just 15 or 20. It will take them through eternity. Now, what do you dream about? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you this morning, and I know that you see every one of us and understand all of our needs and all of our pains, all of our sorrows, and you see everything about us. But you also are able to give us dreams. Dreams of what you would want to do in us and through us. Dreams of what we could be. Dreams that are all built around you and your word. God, dreams that would make a difference for now and for eternity. Dreams that would change families and countries and nations and could even have impact upon the souls of people forever and ever and ever. God, help us to see our dreams. You showed us something that was amazing when you sent your son to die for us. When Jesus died on Calvary, there was nothing any greater than that. And you told about it all through your word before it happened. And you declared that you loved us that much. In the midst of all that, you still want to use us and help us be followers of yours. To love your son. I love our world so that we could introduce them to the only Savior. And we thank you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand?